It is Dukes and Bell. Big shout out to our buddy Steve Mancinelli. Mike and I were just having a conversation with him about his shoulder. He's going to have shoulder replacement, and it's going down next week. And we were just talking with him, and he was describing, not to discuss, you know, make you guys get weirded out here. Yeah. I'm not going to go into detail. But if you're into these things, and I know some of you people are, you're weirdos, you go on to YouTube and you start watching these surgeries and how they do some of this stuff.
I'm not watching that.
Me neither. Mike, look at me. I'm a tough guy. But nice. I can't stand blood. And when it comes to, like, these surgeries, look, I'm the dude that turns away when you give me a shot, okay?
Right.
So when you start – don't look at me like that. So when you start talking about these surgeries and they go in – and Steve Mancinelli's telling – they're going to go in my shoulder and they're going to chisel out. I said, chisel?
They're going to chisel the bones, bro.
I don't – when you had – you lost me at chisel.
That's why I'm not getting mine done. I've got my right shoulder comes out a little bit further than my left. I'm not messing with it. You know what?
Come on, man.
I just go light. You know what? When everybody's slapping iron like Lou Ferrigno, I'm just doing like cables, man. 15, 25, 30.
You become that guy.
I don't care, man. My father said every day is chest day. Just keep your chest out bigger than your stomach, and you can see the other thing, you're okay.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we talked about this the other day because we were talking about weight loss and how we're trying to, you know, do it. I lost – the only reason I lost weight is so I don't have to have my knee replaced because I don't want to deal with that rehab, man. I do not want to deal with that. I know a guy that I can mention his name, Bobak, who I used to work with back in the day, Legendary 790. He had a knee replacement, and we were all hanging out at the – go visit Bo at his rehab at Georgia Tech, and they were like this aqua therapy. And so I walk in, and I was with George Godsey. And it might not have been Brett Key, it might have been a Beamer, was it a GA? And we walk in, and Bo's in the pool. And Bo's one of the toughest guys I know. And he's literally screaming like, oh, my God, what are they doing to him? He's like, it won't bend any further. Stop it. Stop it. So just on that alone, no way, Jose. I am. So that's why I lost the 30 pounds.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to keep off so I don't have to do that knee replacement. No way.
Yeah, look, and I know some of you have had the surgeries. We're talking about whether it's knee replacement.
And you got to do it. You got to get a hip. Jeff Francoeur was just talking about last night on the broadcast. He's got to get a hip replacement coming up.
Yeah, it's tough. But Steve, man, nothing but love. We wish you the best, obviously. But he was just talking about. But he's a tough guy, man. He's a big Italian dude. He's like, they're gonna chisel my shoulder out. They're gonna put a titanium ball in there. He's just talking like it's no big deal. They'll have me open for hours, and now they're gonna go in and clean it up. I'm like, you could have stopped way a long time ago.
Well. Years ago, when I first busted up my shoulder, I played rugby in 20 years, but when I lived in Spire and my shoulder was acting up, we had this female bodybuilder who lived in the building, and she trained with a guy, and this dude was also, he looked like Mr. Universe. So we're sitting here, and we were talking at the pool one day in my old building, and I said, yeah, I need to get the shoulder done. She goes, yeah, the rehab is a real bitch. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pass on that. Pass on that right there.
Thank you, Mike.
Hurts like hell.
Thank you. Yes, I don't wish that on anybody.
And those pain pills don't do anything.
I don't wish that on anybody. But
thank you, Donna.
But if you have to go through it, man, good luck. But anyways, we were just talking with one of our listeners, Steve. Hey, man, we're out here at Hooters.
True story.
I believe it. Yeah. Having a good time, hanging out here, and we're going to be back at Hooters Mall of Georgia on Thursday. Hey, coming up, you're going to hear from Matthew Bergeron, one of our unsung heroes. He really is. One of the better offensive linemen, man, that we have, and I think he's one of the better guys in the league. Mike, you mentioned a story today about him going and congratulating Pitts on a catch, did he miss one?
I was talking this with Carl earlier. We got this when Michael Penix Jr., unsolicited, goes into his first media session and says, hey, we got KP the ball today. You see that? Guys are acutely aware of the criticism that Kyle Pitts has gotten from us, around the league, from national guys like Greg Olson on the broadcast, what Rodney Harrison said. As Carl says, these guys hear all this stuff.
They do.
And maybe they love him as a teammate, and they see things that we just haven't been able to see on a regular basis on the field. And, you know, we can debate. Not his fault he had two bums as quarterbacks. You know, an injury that never seemed to end, if that's one excuse. But now, when he has a play and he had a ball that he dropped, Bergeron comes out, he's dapping him up. Runs away from the huddle, makes the effort to, you know, give him some confidence.
Run 10, 15 yards.
Pitts makes a big catch. Two or three guys come over there and they're dapping him up. So I think the team as a whole, it's almost like they want to see Pitts shut up the critics and see Pitts be this Pro Bowl guy that he was in year one again.
You know, it reminds me of the explosion we saw with A.J. Terrell when he got that pick last year in Tampa. When it was like, he's great, but he never gets picks. What's going on?
He's
going
to get a big contract, but he doesn't give you any interceptions.
And then he got that pick. And remember, the entire team literally came off the bench.
I was sitting behind the bench at Raymond James, and he basically levitated. That was an amazing catch at the goal line. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, Bucks are driving.
Yeah.
Very different game.
Yeah.
But you're right, Brady. Everybody reacted to it. So there is a team dynamic. And if you heard Leonard Floyd, yes, everyone from me to Arthur Blank would like to see, you know, our coach make better decisions in clock management. Players love playing for Ra. They love this guy.
They do.
And Leonard Floyd's an OG. He doesn't have to say that.
No,
he did.
No. Look, he's made a lot of money.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Hey, man, hanging out. Find us on social media, Dukes and Bell. Of course, you can follow the radio station at 929 The Game and follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes. We'd love to hear from you guys. One thing I do want to mention, more Falcon notes coming up, guys, as we give you our takes on what went down today at the practice, the first padded practice, full pads. Raheem Morris was non-committal on whether or not Darnell Mooney and his shoulder injury is going to be ready for week one. I only bring that up to say they obviously signed DJ Shark, and they feel good about that.
Right.
But this was my concern when we talked about this Friday, Mike, and we were speculating about how serious this injury was. It's not about whether week one he comes back. He's going to come back at some point. But is this lingering? Does it not allow him, Mike, to stretch out for balls or go up for balls in a game where we need that with Darnell Mooney? Because his athleticism was a big part of his success last year. All those balls from Cousins weren't just on point. He had to go make some plays, right? Some high point balls, some 50-50 balls. So that's concerning for me that the coach is like, well, we're going to reevaluate in a couple of weeks and we'll see. Now, I'm not saying he's lying, but I do think that they are cautiously optimistic about how soon Darnell Mooney is going to be back. And then once he's back, is he 100?
Shark is a different kind of player. You know, he was a guy that had high hopes coming out of the NFL Combine because he was a 4'3 guy that was 6'3. It's like, wow, that's size and speed. And then he just couldn't stay healthy. Had a 1,000-yard season, then the rest is kind of downhill. But, you know, hey, if he can, you know, cobble together enough of a run to be a complimentary piece if they keep him on the roster, you know, once Mooney comes back, or they are actually not lying when they say they were thinking about him while Mooney was here, before the injury, okay. Just adds another element of size and a big target for Michael Penix to throw to. So we'll see. I mean, I think at the end of the day, he'll probably get released and Mooney will be okay.
Yeah, no doubt. If you're wondering about what's going on with the Braves, Grant McCauley will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Rumors are out there about Marcell Ozuna and potentially where he might end up. He did have a home run last night, so we're going
to
see.
Great to see, too, man.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But the countdown is on, guys. Trade deadline is July 31st. Hey, man, while we're talking about all these things, we got to talk some dogs. You know, you asked me last week, and I never really got back to answering it because I think we went on a tangent, just what we do on this show, and we got to talking about so many different things. But you remember you asked me last week if I thought the dogs could win it? And you were like, and I said,
yes.
I said, we'll come back and we'll talk about this.
Right. You think the Georgia Bulldogs can win a national championship as well, going with what we know? No, knowing that we got some turnover in key areas like the offensive line.
Yes.
You got some amazing skill position players. We just heard from Drew Butler. Matthew Stafford loves, who's the transfer from USC?
The wide receiver.
Yeah. Josh Branch. Yeah. Zachariah Branch. Loves him. And I don't know how much USC he's watching, but he saw enough to think this guy's unbelievable route runner. The Georgia fans are going to love him. But to me, it starts with the offensive line and ends with Gunnar Stockton. So I think we can make the playoffs. I'm not sold on a natty this year.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I am. And they have him listed, by the way, Zachariah Branch, as a slot guy. Not as
5'10".
Not necessarily as the X, all right, the wide receiver. They have him listed as a slot. Nevertheless, if he can make plays, it won't matter. My thing about this is, yeah, I do think that they have a chance to get into the playoff again. There's no debating that. I think people are looking at Georgia, and like Kirby said, you know, what did you not see last year? We won the SEC again.
Right.
But I also feel like I have no feeling whatsoever about what Gunnar Stockton is. And I was talking with a friend of ours today, Mike, who's a big Miami fan, while we were at practice. And he was talking about having a chance to talk to Carson Beck last week. And I think Carson Beck is rejuvenated. I don't know how good he's going to be. We know we saw him at his best. We saw him at his worst at Georgia. But he's in a new situation. He came back to improve his draft status. And
is his arm 100%, though?
Well, we're going to find out.
Nobody's talking about this arm injury. He basically had the same injury that Brock Purdy had to bounce back from.
That's right. So we're going to find out. But I, regardless of whatever you thought about Carson Beck, I feel like I knew more about him than I do about Gunnar at this point. And that is my concern. So when you ask me that question, my retort to that is, how good is Gunnar Stockton this season? Is he spectacular or is he average? And if he's average, is that going to be good enough to win the national championship for you? And I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to be. I don't care how good the wide receiving core is, and I don't care how good the defense may be or the back half with KJ back there. To me, it still gets back to you're going to need him to be above whatever the expectation is. And so I do think they make the playoff, but I'm not willing to tell you that they're going to win a national championship.
Well, I mean, the offensive line, we had Connor Riley on yesterday from Dog Nation, and he was reminding us that they basically kind of flip-flopped or moved over their tackles. So you got Freeland and Green. Green is on the right side, played left tackle, you know, in recent seasons for Georgia. These guys weren't good. And I know the guy said, why are you dogging the offensive line? I'm not trying to hate. I'm just giving you facts. If you didn't like this offensive line that was manhandled by Notre Dame, the guys that are now starting, for the most part, couldn't beat out those guys to be better at offensive line than Georgia needed to be last year. That's my only concern. I think you touched on skill position. We got a bunch of dudes. I think secondary, linebacker, you know, emerging players on D-line that Kirby likes, including some true freshmen.
Yes.
So I think, but everybody's in the same boat with the exception of the Texas Longhorns. You know, I mean, Texas seems, yeah. But they've also turned over their offensive line, but they've got, obviously, they got a little more depth, it looks like, than Georgia.
It feels that way. And here's the other thing, and Kirby alluded to this in the SEC media days. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You'll hear from Matthew Bergeron, guard for our Atlanta Falcons, who was on with Andy and Randy, as we give you extensive and exclusive camp coverage here live from Hooters. He said, we're young. And I think that part of it is, yeah, you can be good, but there's this process, Mike. You got to know how to win close games. You got to have a bunch of guys. And like, everybody wants to point back to the Braves. Remember this year, how many of you guys wanted to tell us that this was going to turn into the 21 Braves? Mm. This is not going to turn into the 21 or 22
right.
Georgia Bulldogs either. You had experienced dudes on that team who knew how to win and then knew how to win close games. And in most cases, you weren't scoring on them. And I can't say that about a young Georgia team. As Kirby said, we're young. We're young all over the field. Doesn't mean they won't be talented.
No, they're.
But that's the difference.
And again, not having that, you know, that margin of error as far as the depth chart. But this is the same boat everybody else is in. You know, you got Ohio State's breaking a new quarterback.
Yes, they are.
Michigan, you got all these big programs breaking in new quarterbacks. Penn State has. Now, there's other programs that have guys that are in place. So there's a lot of turnover at the key positions around the big power, you know, us in the Big Ten, the two conferences that matter most. Miami, Carson Beck, if he's going to be the man, apparently that team is really loaded. The coach makes really bad decisions. I think it's Dabo and Clemson in the ACC. I think that's where it's at. I think Clemson's going to be in that Final Four.
Oh, I do too. I think they're the best team in the ACC. We get a chance to see here in a few weeks as football gets underway, especially college football. Hey, man, come on through. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We're here until 6 o'clock. Mike's got some guy talk on the way. And in the 5 o'clock hour, more with Flo. That's Leonard Floyd, who we had a chance to catch up with. But next, Matthew Bergeron and what he's saying about this offensive
line. He's a dude.
Protecting Penix. Yeah, man. And what's he been up to? Find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guy Talks on the way, guys. Also, more on the Falcons and Leonard Floyd, who stopped by. It's so good. Mike, it's funny. We went from like, we'll never have no dogs on this team to having a few dogs on this team.
Right. We got Leonard Floyd, who, of course, started with Mark Richt's team back in the day. And then now we got Jalen Walker, who was absent, though, from practice. And they're talking about management. And, I asked Dylan, I don't know what they're talking about, Mike and Carl. So we'll try to figure a little bit more about maybe Thursday. Now, if Jalen Walker's not out there Thursday, you concerned?
Yes.
Me too.
Sunday, Tuesday,
right.
Thursday.
Right.
That's three practices.
Right.
I mean, like.
Now do it backwards and you're Apollonia and Godfather. Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, Saturday.
I'm just saying.
Wait, hold on. Day-Day, have you ever.
But I'm trying not to, Mike, I'm trying not to jump to conclusions here.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Saturday.
I want
if
to. If
they don't blow her up, we never have to see Diane Keaton again. You never have to see Diane
Would you
Keaton.
Stop? You're never changing this ending.
Apollonia, and she was so young and innocent. She'd have given Michael 6 kids. She'd have made sauce, never asked questions. It would have been perfect.
This is your ending, by the
way. I'm just saying, Steve's nodding. Any Italian out there knows.
This is your ending.
Michael, this is, don't get me started.
Hey, man, but I'll say this. I don't want to jump to conclusions. We will wait to see. But, yeah, if Thursday, I'm just saying,
because Jalen Walker, front and center, he was a big part of minicamp. He was in like a starter's role, for, again, albeit mandatory minicamp workouts.
Hey, man, let's hear from Matthew Bergeron, guard for our Atlanta Falcons. He is tasked with helping protect Michael Penix and open up holes for Bijan and all of our guys. And Andy and Randy had a chance to visit with him today. It's been 3 years, believe it or not, since he was drafted. And you know, those 3 years have flown by, and that's where they started the conversation about how quickly things have gone.
I mean, it's going by fast, to be honest. Just looking back when I first got here to now, I just feel like I've grown so much. And to be honest, time just flies by. I feel like the rookie year is the longest year.
Right.
And after that, it just goes on, and it flies by, and I'm just super happy to be here. And, you know, obviously the O-line room, there hasn't been any, much movement. So I'm just happy to be with the guys, you know, that I've started with.
We were talking about that because there has been a bit of movement on the roster in general, as right. is natural in the NFL.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of continuity on that offensive line. How important is that?
I mean, it's important, especially for, like, you know, chemistry and stuff like that in the run game and in the pass protection, and it's been great. You know, Nuzel, even though Drew was here last year, but Nuzel played a lot, so it just feels like, you know, it just feels like last year, you know what I mean? Nothing has changed, and we just keep growing together and getting better together, and I feel like it's shown, you know, from my first year to last year, I feel like we took another step last year, and I feel like we're playing, you know, better and better every year.
How you've grown as a player?
I mean, I feel like I've grown. I think the main thing for, you know, a rookie offensive lineman is confidence. I feel like when I first got there out on the field, it was more about surviving and just not up.
Right.
And now it's more about just dominating and just you know, working on the details and stuff like that. And I feel like I've been growing in all areas of my game. And my goal this year is to do the same thing, just get better. And I feel like that's how you stay for a long time in this league. And I got the best example to my left with Jake Matthews, right? He's aging like fine wine. So it's just I'm just trying to look up to him and do what he does and just trying to, you know, stick around for a long time in Atlanta.
I like what you hit on there, Matthew. Matthew Bergeron joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. People talk about the growth from whether it's year one or early in a career and then becoming, you know, a bit older in the league and then into a veteran. I'm sure it's both. But if it's one more than the other, is it more physical or is it more mental that has you now in year three feeling more confident in your game?
It's a mix of both, but I feel like the main thing is mental, for sure. Just proving to yourself that you're able to do it day in and day out and against, like, good talent. You know, obviously last year we played some good dogs, you know, on the inside, you know, throughout the season. So just proving yourself game after game that you can do it, and then you come into the next game with, you know, a little bit more confidence. I think that's the main thing. I remember when my first start in 2023 against the Panthers, like, I was nervous. I was out there just like, hey, don't mess up the play. Whatever happens, right. just don't get on the ground. Don't mess up the play. And now it's more like, all right, how can I take my game to the next level? So I feel like it's just a mental aspect. And obviously, as you're growing, as you're lifting weights, as you're working out, there's a physical aspect to it also. But I feel like, you know, 70% is mental. Yeah.
How's it been with obviously, you got a chance to play with Michael last three games of last season. Yeah. But coming into this spring, he's been the guy, number one, QB1. How has that been as far as his leadership and everything in the huddle?
I mean, he just took a step compared to last year. He's more vocal, and obviously he developed a good relationship with everybody on the offense. And I feel like, you know, the last three games we saw what Michael could do, and the whole team just bought in, and we just all rallied behind him. And I'm very excited to see what Michael is going to do. And he's shown, you know, he's talented. He's a good dude, had good head on his shoulders, and he's just a great teammate. So, you know, our goal out there is just to give Michael the most time in the pocket to make an amazing, you know, an amazing throw, because, you know, we all know he got the arm talent for sure.
Falcons offensive lineman Matthew Bergeron joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. You're in an interesting spot on the left side where, like you mentioned, you're playing next to Jake Matthews, who started like 200 straight games. And then to your right is Ryan Nuzel, who's a starter in the league going into this year for the first time in his career. Tell us about Nuzel. What do you like about playing next to him? What are fans gonna want to know about him as a young player?
I mean, I love playing next to Nuzel. I feel like his knowledge of the game is out of this world. You know, just the way he sees the defense, the way he communicates on the O-line is just great. And the funniest thing about Nuzel, he never gets phased. Like, he's never nervous. He's never stressed. Like, before a game, he's relaxed, calm. And I feel like that's what you need for a center, right? Like, you got to be able to talk, communicate in high-pressure moments. And that's what I love about Nuzel. He's just unfazed all the time, and he just has this calm to him. And I think it's just great. And I think it helps me a lot to calm down, because I'm an emotional guy. You know, I'm passionate about the game, and I feel like Nuzel just brings me back to zero.
Speaking of emotional guy, like, yeah, I mean, I understand that there's going to be fights in training. It ain't really no fighting, grabbing and all those other things. Saw you was in the middle of it. And I was trying to explain to my partner here and our listeners that it's always the defense that starts the fights, right?
I mean, it's a mix of both, right?
Take it some credit.
I'll tell you that. I just feel like our team right now, like, we have a passionate team, and in my whole football career, I never had that. Just right. Guys out there every day just trying to get better. And, you know, it's a physical game, and stuff like that are going to happen. You know what I mean? It's never personal. It never leaves the field. In the locker room, we're all boys. And once we kick off, and, you know, in the bands September 7th, like, we're all going to rally behind each other. It's just right now, you know, the thing is we're practicing against each other. But, you know, it's never personal, and it's passionate. And, you know, it's just physical game, and it's going to happen. But I feel like it's a mix of both. It's offense, defense.
Hey, one thing that people – we were talking about this earlier. One thing that people always say about offensive linemen is, you know, offensive linemen are playing great when they're not being talked about. But do you guys like that? Like, wouldn't it be nice to be talked about a little bit? Like, Bijan Springs a big run, yeah, and you get some credit for it?
To me, it doesn't matter. You know, as an O-line, I kind of love that, just being in the dark. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like for those guys, like, you know, Michael, Bijan, Drake, like, everybody show them love when there's a big play. Everybody talks about you. But when you drop a ball and when something happens, like, everybody's against you. And I feel like it has to be tough for them. So I feel like I just love being in the dark, not being talked about. And the best part about the game is seeing Bijan break a run, right, seeing Michael throw it 70 yards deep, seeing Drake, you know, head top somebody. That's what I love about football. So I love working in the dark, and, you know, I just love blocking for those guys. And it doesn't matter to me if I'm talked about it or not. I feel like in the team, you know, what the team thinks of me is what matters the most. I don't care about the media. You know, obviously I love the fans, but whether you guys like me or not, it's not my priority. It's what the team thinks about me and thinks about us as an O-line as a whole.
What a healthy outlook.
Yeah. So, last one for me. Since you've been here, I mean, well, the first 2 years here, you were going against a guy, a veteran, one of the best D tackles in football, yeah, every day of practice and grading. Now you're going against a young guy that we're all hoping that he brings what we expect him to bring every single day. How is it going against a guy like Rook in the interior, since, you know, he's the guy right now in the interior of the defensive line?
I mean, interior is just pretty good. You know, we have a lot of veteran guys. I'm thinking about Street, D.O., and obviously Rook is now going on year two, and you've seen the growth from Rook, you know, from year one and year two. And I seen it in myself when I was in his shoes, you know what I mean? He's gotten a lot better. He's one heck of a pass rusher. So he's getting me better. I'm getting him better. And that's the thing about training camp is, like, you're going to lose reps. Like, we take, what, 50 to 60 reps a day? Like, you're going to lose reps. But the thing is, we make each other better. And I feel like the interior has gotten a lot better. And D.O. is just very, very – you know, he's very good right now. And I think I'm very excited, you know, for what the interior defense is going to do this season.
Matthew Bergeron talking with Andy and Randy. Matthew, we're excited about what the interior defensive line is going to look like. He's right about these reps. And this is why guys get into these scuffles. You know, it's sort of like being married.
Right.
And you see each other every day, and every day you're seeing each other. And then at some point, you just, right, somebody gets on your nerves, right? You snap. And I think for these guys, physically, when you involve that physical contact, and Mike, today I might push you around a couple of times. Tomorrow you might push me around a couple of times. Then you hit me in the face. Now I got to hit you back in the face. And things just escalate. But his point is, you're going to lose some reps, you're going to win some reps, but we're making each other better. And then, again, you know, we laugh because Dan Quinn used to say it all the time, iron sharpens iron. But it is true. It's
right.
True.
And you want the edge. And they talked about it, and Raheem Morris brought up the fact that they wanted some guys. They're going to bring that kind of intensity. Everybody's talking about Pierce. We even heard Floyd talking about Pierce, you know, basically saying he's loving it.
He did.
And so this is the thing. Right now, as Carl said to me all last year after the season ended, so you're telling me I'm not going to be the hype man? I'm trying to be cool. Because guys even come up to me at the bar last week, today. Guys like, hey, man, thought you weren't going to be no hype man. I'm just saying, these are the things. Now, it's got to work.
It's got to work.
Leonard Floyd can't have his production fall off at this stage. You know, we've seen guys, you know, it happens. Like, look at the excitement we had for Matthew Judon that unfortunately only translated to 5 sacks.
Did anybody pick him up, by the way?
Nope. He's still on the float. So that'll be another guy that he'll may get a phone call if somebody goes down late in camp. But so I think we got a good balance. But there are some unproven. The thing is, we're excited about what we're seeing. But Pierce is trending the right. He's doing the things you want to be talking about. He's disrupting. He's getting in the backfield. Guys asked me today, how many sacks? I go, it's hard because if you're watching from the hill, a play might get executed, results in a touchdown. From where we're sitting, it's a sack.
Correct.
You know, that ball,
because nobody's going to touch the quarterback.
Right. So, I mean, it's still, that's why we have to wait till we get to, and they're still wearing non-contact jerseys when the Titans are here in 2 weeks, but that'll really be the best chance. But, hey, so far so good, man. Seeing some things very exciting.
Mike, what do we have coming up at Guy Talk?
Hey, man, there's a new trend in Miami for women. It's called topping. Wait till you see this. I think you're going to like it.
You had me at new trend.
Google or just go to Mike Bell ATL if you need a visual aid. I know we're on the radio. I'll do my best to describe this new trend that's hot and sexy. Also coming up, guess who says Atlanta's a better place to be than Boston or San Antonio?
Uh-oh.
He is Latvian, and he plays for the Hawks. We'll explain coming up on Guy Talk. Where to play is play. Hey, man, Tuesday
Thank
edition
you.
Up
Thank
here
you.
At the Hooters Mall of Georgia. We call it the Tosh Mooters. Shout out to Bosch, who works Fulton County Schools, his lovely daughter, Anya Modest. She just came over, said hello. We just took a shot. And, again, we can't do it, as Carl says. And I was saying it to a young man earlier today at Mall of Georgia. Without you, there is no us. But, yeah, man, we got a lot of guys rolling in and rolling out. We'll be here till 6. So don't do speed. I mean, unless you have to come on up and join us here at the Hooters. We'll be back on Thursday, and the residency continues next week, Monday and Tuesday. Carl, speaking of good people and big Dukes and Bell listeners.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Josh at Lids. Today, I literally looked like Ted Stryker from the movie Airplane. I sweated right through my 92.9 shirt.
You did.
I mean, it was flop sweat. It's good though. Lose some LBs. So I said, well, I'm going to go over to Old Navy, grab myself a new shirt because I can't show up looking like this. So roll into Old Navy. Everybody, by the way, it's a madhouse. Everybody's got their kids in there for back to school.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, anyway, $9 shirt, man. Can't go wrong with Old Navy.
Bro, you walked in and told me that. I was like, it looks like a $45 shirt.
Can't go wrong with that.
I wouldn't have known the difference.
Exactly. Cotton's a shirt, man. Anyway, so after that, I said, well, so it's still only 12 o'clock. I got time to kill. Let's sashay down to Lids, find out where the Lids is down here. So one thing we talk about all the time on the show, Carl says it, I say it, we always appreciate people, no matter what your line of work is, you know, whether you're blue collar, white collar, a doctor, whatever you do, you take pride in it. You know, bartenders, servers, we talk about it all the time. So I walk into Lids, and I'm talking to this big dude named Josh, and we start chatting up, and I said, yeah, man. And I said, my wife only allows me one hat a month. He goes, oh, that's not right, man. So we start chatting. And I go, he goes, hey, I get this new Braves hat. He goes, you want some customization on that? I'm like, well.
Of course, I do.
Because remember in the old days, everybody did the old monogram thing on the Lids.
You did. I mean, that was like a thing.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe, you know, styles are coming back. But I used to love that because you could put your own whatever on a hat, shirt. You could do it all, whatever you wanted.
So I told Josh, I said, hey, man, I work for a radio show, and I would probably put something for my show on. He goes, I knew it. And then he goes, I knew it because I heard your voice. And anyway, so I hung out in there. He put the Hey Man on the back. So I got this gold Braves with black lid. It's kind of tight.
It's dope.
Something different. If only the team could play up to the dopeness of this hat. But no, Josh, a cosmic pro, he played some college ball back in the day, and he's just a good dude, man, who's running the Lids over here at Mall of Georgia. So now you got to get one.
You already know. And now I know his work schedule. I won't be in there. But listen, he's been sitting at the bar chilling, and I was like, man, this dude is just chilling. He's been hanging out doing the show, and he finally came over, and Mike was like, that's the dude. That's the dude right there. So thank you, Josh, man.
Good
we
man.
Appreciate you.
That's right. So we got one on the house for you, brother. All right, man. Josh already looked this up on his computer, on his phone. Other guys at the bar took the time during the commercial break to take up a look at a new trend, which I just found from Ocean Drive magazine, and then it's got retweeted, so I retweeted it. It's called topping. Now, the best way to describe this, it is women going braless, wearing a backless shirt, and the shirt, basically, there's no fabric on the back, so your back is exposed, and then the fabric covers up the front and descends just barely over the breastises, and then can be either long or short sleeves. That's my best way to describe this, because I put it up at Mike Bell.
Keep describing it.
Well, granted, the woman who's sporting this look, which is described as a hot new trend in South Florida called topping, is fabulous. I mean, it's like you took the best of J-Lo and a time machine, and best of Beyonce, put it all in a blender, because she's flawless. Again, not that it matters what a woman looks like, it's what's on the inside that matters most. But anyway, getting back to the topping trend, it's a pretty wild look. I'm hoping we see more of this. I'm just hoping, as I said on Twitter, that folks...
I like it.
You just don't need people that try to pack 175 pounds of flour into a 100-pound bag to be trying to sport this look. You know what I'm talking about? We love yoga pants, but not everybody's, you know, cracked up to wear yoga pants.
Don't speak for yourself.
Well, I'm just saying. You know, when you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, fit in them.
I mean, if you can fit, but I mean, yes. But
no, I understand. But I get the
fabric,
I totally get
it. If the fabric is holding on for dear life,
yes,
you know,
yes.
it might be a bit of a stretch. Pardon the pun. Thank you.
I like this look.
Me too.
I mean, it's it's loose.
It's loose and light and airy.
Yes.
Yes. Check out Mike Bell ATL, and your feedback is always encouraged. Hey, one thing we didn't get to yesterday, because we had so much stuff to talk about with everything else off the weekend, Marta has a lot of explaining to do.
Uh-oh.
Did you see the article in the AJC? After the Beyonce concert and all the folks went to the Vine City MARTA station off of Northside, and all of a sudden they described it. The MARTA people said there was a stampede. No, the escalator didn't work because they said there's no belts on the thing.
Mm.
Now, whether the belts came off during all the usage or they just weren't up to speed, needless to say, there's a big article that came out yesterday in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is talking about this. All I can tell you is, if you're a Dukes and Bell listener and you were injured through no fault of your own, we recommend you use all the lawyers at Evertime, 929 the game.
Mike, the footage from that,
I call the strong arm, personally.
He's my dude. Thank you. I saw the footage on this, and it looked wild. It looked like people were running, but they weren't, because they were coming down the stairs.
Somebody got up. Somebody thought there was, you know, somebody dropped or knocked over a sign. The bang was misconstrued as a gunshot. So either way, people started moving. But the escalator shouldn't be doing that under any circumstances.
No.
So there's the article now in the AJC. Riders disputed the stampede that MARTA said caused this again after the Beyonce concert. And now here's what Georgia officials are talking about, that apparently there were some issues with the belt. Now, as we said, if this was something from the volume on the escalator, was the escalator not properly maintained? Because it was supposed to immediately shut off.
Correct.
As soon as there was a moment. But the Insurance and Safety Fire Commissioner's Office launched an investigation into the failure of the aforementioned Vine City MARTA escalator. And now they're saying four drive belts were found to be missing. Three from the top of the drive motor, one from the bottom. So needless to say, this thing wasn't set up.
Is that possible?
And how, you know, think about how many times, you know, you or I have gotten off at that, or any other Falcon fan.
Yeah.
You know, you decide to not get off at State Farm, you get off at Vine City and walk off at Northside.
Yeah, and look, we always say this, take MARTA, it's smarter, especially with those kinds of concerts.
And I want to support these guys, but they don't make it easy.
Well, with that kind of concert, right, and the parking situation and what the, construction is downtown and all that's going on, it is the way to go. But to your point, you do expect this equipment to work properly. So it's unfortunate. I don't know how many people were hurt, but I did see that article and was like, ooh, this don't look good.
Yeah, man. I just mentioned State Farm. Hopefully this year we're going to be fired up to watch the Hawks at State Farm. By the way, this is Guy Talk live from Hooters here at Mall of Georgia Falcon Report. More audio from Leonard Floyd and everything we found out today at camp coming up. We are excited about Kristaps Porzingis. I guess the only argument about Porzingis, can he stay healthy?
It is. And I had a guy ask me literally at camp today. I got out the car and I was walking in. He's like, Dukes, I know you know what's up with these Hawks. What's going on? I said, they're going to be fun to watch, man. Like, this is the most talent we've had around Trey in a very long time. Like, we got to go back to 21, and we didn't even know that team was going to take off. But you're right, Mike. I mean, like, Porzingis, and here's the part that I think you're getting to is he going to be a guy that us, as Hawks fans, fall in love with, right?
Right.
As the crowd favorite and a guy that, you know, from a community standpoint, like, hey, here's a guy that we absolutely we dig a lot. And everything he's saying seems to be on point. Everything.
So if you guys know the Celtics, you know the famous Johnny Most called Havlicek stole the ball. Well, anyway, it's on the Havlicek stole the pod. It's a funny name for a podcast.
It is.
But, Kristaps, first thing you and I were saying is usage rate in that Knicks series. When the Celtics got eliminated, Jason Tatum goes out with an injury. He said something was lingering during the playoffs. I had fatigue, dizziness, moments where I felt like I might faint.
Mm.
It wasn't great. So it was some kind of a virus. He doesn't say specifically what exactly it was, but he was dealing with something that apparently he has worked through, and he says that he feels great. He says he feels like fantastic, can't wait to get to work with the Hawks. He said another thing about this move, speaking of being traded to the Hawks, he said, I spoke to my agent, and I expected that one or more of us would be traded, figuring that Boston was going to reset. They have cap issues. We talked about it. He says, it didn't exactly distract us, but I knew this team wasn't going to stay together. He said that for a while, I thought I might end up with the Spurs. He goes, but then Atlanta came in, and that was a nice surprise. It was out of my hands, but he goes on to say, loving what the core is in Atlanta, the young people, like Trey, said that he thinks there's a tremendous opportunity here in Atlanta.
And he's right. And look, the Spurs are young and talented, and who doesn't want to go play with Wimby right now? Mike, I just watched this a couple of weeks ago. I started watching, because it's been out, the Netflix documentary about us winning the gold medal in Paris.
Right.
Is excellent, by the way. And it goes behind the scenes talking about the French team. And the French team had a chance, obviously, to win gold on their home floor. And after they lose, right, and Wimby's crying, and people don't – this is right. like behind-the-scenes stuff. This is the game where Steph goes off. He keeps us in, and we win. It was an amazing run. And Wimby is crying, and his French teammates are like, hey, you're going to be great. You're going to have another chance at winning gold. And right. Wimby's like, I'm coming. And they're like, for the NBA? And he's like, for all of it. And my point is, like, we don't really realize how talented he is. And literally, Steve Kerr, who was coaching the American team, was like, we went into that game knowing Wimby was going to be a problem.
Right.
My point is, there's not a lot of young guys that don't want to go play with Wimby. They're going to have a good team, and they're coming. But I like the fact that Porzingis loved coming here. Mike, we always talk about this. People always say, oh, nobody wants to come to Atlanta. It's bullcorn. We got a great city, man.
Right.
But people love coming here, and I think you're seeing it more and more, especially over the last decade. We are attracting stars, and we're attracting guys that want to be here and playing right. on our teams.
I mean, we always have that story. Guys got their side piece in the A. Well, I mean, maybe they do, but there's still some guys that will play here. Carl just touched on it. All right, man. Hey.
What's up?
It's not Fat Albert, but it is Desmond Watson. Six-foot-six, 464-pound defensive lineman for the Tampa Bay Bucks, who can't practice because it's too hot and he's too fat.
It's the truth. Look, this guy played at Florida, and the first time I saw him, Mike, I was like, this can't be real. His helmet didn't fit. The pads looked too small. Right. He is a monster of a man. But he is dangerously out of shape in a way that could harm his life.
Some folks down there that follow the Bucks are saying, what's up with the Florida Gators training program? I mean, you got to get this guy into some semblance of shape.
You do.
He wasn't drafted, guys. He's an undrafted free agent. You may have seen the video as the Bucks are in full pads in practice today at one Buccaneer place. And meanwhile, there's a 464-pound guy, kind of hard to miss, basically walking laps around the practice field, you know, with a vest on. I'm sure it's a cool vest. I'm guaranteed.
It's probably a sweat vest.
I'm going to say, I don't know if that's going to be.
It's a sweat vest.
I don't think they want to. And I don't think anybody wants to do mouth-to-mouth necessarily. You'll need Carly Simon for that job.
Have you seen this guy?
He's a mountain of a man.
Oh, my goodness.
We were just talking about the mountain from Game of Thrones yesterday.
That's right.
And this guy is he's 6'9". This guy's 6'6", 464. Hey, if you missed the end of the show yesterday, speaking of the Florida Gators, interesting news down from their camp. Just like the Georgia Bulldogs, they're about to start preseason camp. And DJ Lagway's walking around in a boot. DJ Lagway's walking around with a boot on a lower body injury. No one knows if it's bone, if it's ankle. Okay, Carl, I don't know what's – okay, it is the Gators. Billy Napier says, the good thing is I think we're about a week removed. He's made a lot of progress. It'll be something we're monitoring. I don't know if he actually sounded like that. I'm just adding a sense of nervousness.
He is very nervous because he knows his job's on the line.
So I guess we'll wrap up a guy talk with, I guess the worst idea would be if we saw Desmond Watson and he was attempting that look known as topping. That would be something that nobody would want to see.
I don't want to see that. Yeah.
That would be like, remember, who was it years ago? Who was the Alabama offensive lineman who ran the 40-yard dash? Who was it? Andre Smith, I think he got drafted by the Bengals eventually. He goes and runs the 40 with no shirt on. And, again, so basically his right nipple is over his left shoulder.
It was.
As he's running. It was like, but anyway, he needed a sports bra.
He did. He needed one of those T-shirts that tuck all that stuff in.
Yes.
Either way, I don't want to see him in that. But this topping thing, you guys going to go home and be like, baby, I got a new look for you.
Hey, girl, you want to start some topping? Now, again, can you just cut one of your wife's shirts up? Well, don't do it without her permission.
This is true.
But, again, check it out at Mike Bell ATL. And, again, enjoy.
It's good stuff.
That's Guy Talk.
All right, man. Great work. We're live at Hooters, guys. Mall of location. Takeaways from practice. We just found out. This is a guy we've been waiting to see. Mm. And apparently he is finally, and I say this, finally coming back to practice. We'll tell you who that is. Also, Leonard Floyd. We had a chance to talk with the Georgia boy who's back in the A and back in Georgia to play with the Atlanta Falcons. He is an established, experienced vet, and I think he brings a lot to this team, guys. Hear what he had to say in the Falcon Report coming up. Also, Grant's going to join us about the Braves trade deadline as we count down. Marcell Ozuna. Teams apparently are interested. We're going to let you know where that is going to go and what it could look like. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.